AuthorityResearch.com. A précis of the introduction to the articles by Dean Gotcher. All bracketed information below, within the quotations or verses of this article, is not in the original quotation or verse. It is information that has been added by me. There is no father's authority in the dialoguing of opinions, only equals. Therefore, in the dialoguing of opinions, no one has a guilty conscience in disobeying the father, since in the dialoguing of opinions, there is not father's authority to disobey. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1 verse 21. The problem anyone faces who attempts to explain the dialectic process is its elusiveness, or better yet, its commonality. Things can become so common that they are not noticeable, too close to home to see, or if seen, wanted to be exposed. What we all have in common is our tendency to resent things that prevent us from doing what we want to do, thinking that life would be better if they did not exist, not realizing that sometimes by getting rid of that which we resent, we can actually end up negating that which restrains us from destroying ourselves. Things that are pleasurable to us are positive because our nature is to enjoy things that are pleasurable to us physically, emotionally, mentally, and socially. Things that are painful to us are negative because our nature is to avoid that which is hurtful to us physically, emotionally, mentally, and socially. If you base reality upon human nature, the dialectic process, then you measure the worth of your day, the worth of life itself, upon how much pleasure versus how much pain the day has brought your way. Therefore, carnal man judges and values his life and the life of others only upon the pleasure-pain spectrum of human nature, only upon the condition of changingness. It is not that we should seek after pain and avoid pleasure. It is that life is not based upon that which is of nature only, of sense experience only. Unless you have deceived yourself and think like a humanist, like a communist, aka a communist with a smile, a transformational Marxist, a user-friendly Marxist, a social psychologist, Marx and Freud synthesized, a facilitator of change, a communitarianist, all being the same, you know that there is more to life than Eros, that is more than the pleasure or enjoyment of this life only being lovers of pleasure more than God, or in place of God, that is making pleasure or the enjoyment of this life God. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1-8 with a world established upon the approach pleasure, avoid pain, paradigm of change only, with human nature subject only to the ever changing conditions, temptations of the world, living in and for the moment, and those who manipulate it to their own end, that is, seducing, deceiving and manipulating man, that is, controlling him through his own natural inclination to relate with the immediate environment in the pursuit of pleasure and in the avoidance of pain only, there is no right of sovereignty. That is no right of a patriarch, no right of a father, that is no right to protect, initiate, and sustain his mine not yours way of thinking and acting. In the consensus of social harmony and world peace, socialist harmony and worldly peace, mine not yours private is negated, that is replaced with the public-private tyranny of ours, not just yours, we working for us. While Jesus claimed equality with his heavenly Father, I and my Father are one. John 10 verse 30, being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself under his Father's authority to show us we are not to claim equality with God, be as gods ourselves. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2 verse 8, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Matthew 26 verse 42. Then, when he ascended into heaven, he did not take his heavenly Father's place, demanding equality on his terms, that is, Father, your seat is my seat, not just yours. He instead sat himself down at his heavenly Father's right hand, maintaining a top-down order, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12 verse 2, it is his Father who placed all things in his only begotten Son's hands, the Son, who even today, is waiting for his Father's command to go get his bride. Not once has our Lord stepped out from under a top-down, patriarchal order, out from under his heavenly Father's commands. He has called us to be like him, doing the same, even in our daily prayer to seek his will, regarding all things. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6 verses 9 and 10 It is man, in consensus with himself, even in the church, doing it in the name of the Lord, who refuses to humble himself before God, instead thinking and acting according to dialectic reasoning, leaning to his own understanding, justifying his carnal, human nature, who will be humbled on the day of judgment before both the Father and the Son. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Isaiah 2 verse 11, Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5 verse 6, This is something those of dialectic reasoning cannot do, humble themselves before God, and will not experience, being exalted by him, instead, being exalted by men only, experiencing judgment and eternal damnation for their pernicious ways. 2 Peter 2 verses 1 to 22. See the article. Facilitators, wells without water. Bold added to verses above. After all is said and done the thesis, antithesis, synthesis of the dialectic process, the words most people associate with it is all about the father-children relationship. The thesis, position, represents the condition of the father's authority, his authority to author commands, commands which his children must obey rather than follow after their natural inclinations to relate with the world, the natural environment around them or in their imagination, in the moment, as well as the father's authority to chasten his children when his commands are not obeyed, thereby not only having the recognized right to author commands, but also the recognized right to enforce them, initiating and sustaining his authority to rule over his children, rule over his home, his land, his business, where we get the right of property. His do what I say, his don't disobey or else, and his because I say so represent his authority to author commands and his authority to enforce them, initiating and sustaining his position of authority over that which is his. This way of thinking and acting is called a patriarchal paradigm, where right and wrong, good and evil, is determined not by the child's natural inclination to approach pleasure and avoid pain, but according to the father's will. This system, if I can call it that, is a system of righteousness in that God gives his children commands to be obeyed and chastens them when they disobey, with those children who refuse to accept his chastening, refusing to repent of their disobedience. That is the children of disobedience, refusing to be his children, receiving his wrath. It is better to receive the Father's chastening and repent than his wrath and be condemned. While the pattern or the system or the paradigm is the same for both the Heavenly Father and the Earthly Father, the outcome is different in that the Heavenly Father chastens his children so that they might be partakers of his holiness, while the Earthly Father chastens his children after his own pleasure. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12 verse 10 This thesis condition, not as those of dialectic reasoning would define it, is defined in Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11. Those of dialectic reasoning set out to negate this top-down thesis of righteousness by replacing it with their own thesis of sensuousness, that is of the approach pleasure, avoid pain, spectrum or continuum of human nature, so that they can initiate and sustain the system of change that is a system of heresy, why their paradigm or way of thinking and acting is called a heresiarchal paradigm of change. Have you heard the word change recently? Antithesis represents, according to dialectic reasoning, the condition of conflict or tension created by the desire of the child to obey his father, receiving his approval, and his natural inclination to relate with the environment, relate with the world in the moment, in enjoyment. For the child to obey the father's will means that he cannot do that which he wants to do or what he wills, do that which is enjoyable, according to his natural inclination, to relate with the world in the moment, and yet to do that which he wants to do or wills to do, approach pleasure or enjoy the world, means that he will have to disobey the father's will and get into trouble, that is, be chastened by the father, that is, experience pain, which he wants to avoid. Why children? Scheme how they can avoid being caught and lie when they are both manifestations of dialectic reasoning. According to dialectic reasoning, antithesis is only the condition of conflict or tension between approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, the child desiring to enjoy the pleasure which comes from relating with that which is gratifying to him in the environment and the pleasure which comes from the father's approval, but restrained by the fear of pain he will receive from the father if he fulfills that which is of his own. Human nature. I am explaining all the works of philosophy here, that is, man's effort to know himself as he is, according to his own nature and the world he finds himself in. Without the father, that is, God revealing himself to the children, that is, man, all man can know is what he is, like children, carnal, which he can only senses perceive as being normal, perceiving himself as being good, that is righteous in his own eyes. This is the trickery, trap, and tyranny of dialectic reasoning. By focusing upon the pleasure-pain spectrum or continuum, changingness, of nature, plurality, rather than the father's authority, unchangingness, rigidity, or fixity, to restrain his children from thinking and acting according to it, duality, justifies, to those of dialectic reasoning, the potential of synthesis explained below. The child, approaching pleasure, doing that which is natural, that is, doing his own thing, when it goes against his father's will, incurs not only external pain from the father, his chastening, but internal pain as well, not receiving the father's approval. Yet, for the child, not being able to do that which is natural, that is, approach pleasure, that is, participate with the world in its enjoyment, receiving its approval, is to incur internal pain as well as external pain. That is the pain of alienation from his own natural inclination to relate with the world, not being able to be himself, as well as the pain of alienation from the world itself, not being able to be with others of like mind, of common carnal desires. By embracing the Father's commands and himself, preaching and teaching them to others, he experiences alienation from those who do not hold to or do not want to hear of his father's commands, incurring their rejection and wrath. While separating himself from others or others separating themselves from him, even doing harm to him, he does not use force to bring others under his way of thinking and acting, which is according to the father's will. It is the father who is to judge, chastening his own children, having wrath upon those who are not, according to his time and place, the believer only using force to protect those who are under his authority. Nowhere in the annals of history have true believers persecuted or killed others for their faith. You cannot defend your faith, it defends you, while they have defended their families, their property, their business, that is, their liberty, and even their very own lives, with some choosing not to, as every man has that God-given right to do. While Christians, believing the world is their kingdom under God, have used, and continue to use, violence to help God in creating his kingdom, believers of God's word, who know him and his word, know that the work is the Lord's, not theirs. His kingdom is not of man's making, but of his own making alone, according to his power alone, for his glory alone. The standard of duality, or established right and wrong, is upon the father, the children only being able to, in themselves, engender a world of plurality, of diversity, a world driven by end purpose in fulfilling their own felt needs of the moment. That is why those of dialectic reasoning focus upon the children. sensuousness, refusing to focus upon the authority of the Father, righteousness, other than to negate it. To synthesis it, that is to make righteousness equal with sensuousness, or rather sensuousness equal with righteousness, that is to make the Father equal with the children and the children equal with the Father, making both subject only to human nature. Is to negate righteousness, is to negate the Father's authority to give commands and chasten those who are under his authority when they disobey, in the thoughts and actions of men. According to dialectic reasoning, the duality condition of antithesis is engendered when the top-down condition of the patriarchal paradigm, where the Father's authority to give commands to his children and chasten them when they disobey him, supersedes and thereby represses the child's natural inclination to relate with the world in the moment, preventing him from initiating and sustaining peace, unity, oneness, harmony, not only with himself, becoming at one with his own nature, but with the nature of the world as well, living according to his human nature, doing that which is natural. Therefore, the conflict condition of antithesis, according to dialectic reasoning, is not between righteousness and sensuousness, which would sustain a top-down order, but between the Father's unnatural use of commands and his unnatural use of chasten, pain, upon the child to initiate and sustain his position of authority, his top-down order, over and against nature, that is over. And against the world and the child's nature to be at one with the world, his desire to approach the pleasures of the world, to naturally initiate and sustain oneness and equality with the world over and against the Father's authority. The Father preventing the child from becoming normal. Normal meaning at one with or equal within the world. The Father, who gives commands which restrain his child's natural inclination and chastens him when he carries them out, according to dialectic reasoning, that is according to nature, is irrational, because all fathers are only of the earth and are therefore themselves naturally inclined to approach the pleasures of the world, that is seeking to be at one with their own nature and the nature of the world they live within. By shifting man's focus from righteousness, top-down, to sensuousness, equality, both the nature of the Father and the children are the same. Through the consensus process, the dialectic process, man has only sensuousness, his carnal human nature to stand upon. The trickery of dialectic reasoning is to catch all the righteous in their trap of sensuousness through their use of dialectic reasoning, that is through our human nature of self-justification, just as Satan did to two in a garden in Eden, Genesis 3 verses 1-6. With this logic, by man, individually and collectively, focusing upon the errors, and therefore the irrationality of their earthly father's authority, which is the dialectic intent, he can justify his human nature as being normal. He can negate, treat as irrelevant in his thoughts and in his actions, the truth of our heavenly Father, who is perfect. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 23 verse 9, the justification of human nature, man's sense experience, which is the basis of all philosophy, psychology, sociology, etc., over and against, it cannot be equal with. God the Father is the agenda of dialectic reasoning, negating all the earthly fathers their God-given right of authority under God. Hegel, Marx, Freud, Rousseau, and with those preceding and following, all following after the same pattern begun in Genesis 3 verses 1-6, had this in common, the negation of the Father's authority, as in God's authority, to declare, "This is mine and not yours," and enforce it. The earthly Father is not perfect, that is, he is not justified in his own carnal nature, but his office is justified, under God, God's desiring that he serve in his office of authority under him, with him, the earthly Father, and all under his authority coming to know him, God, as their true and only Father, who is perfect, through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is also perfect, his righteousness manifested through his obedience to his heavenly Father in all things commanded unto death. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5 verse 48. Our human nature, our natural inclination to relate with the world around us over and against obeying God the Father, engenders our imperfect, that we are not God, that the child is not equal with the Father, which, if accepted, that is that the child is equal with the Father, would negate the top-down authority of the Father, that is negate the Father, negate the system of righteousness and therefore negate righteousness itself, at least in the thoughts and actions of the child. The law of God simply exposing our sinful nature, that is our human nature, as sinful. Romans 7 verses 14 to 25, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, loving and obeying his heavenly Father in all things commanded, even unto death, came to redeem us from his Father's wrath upon us, because we are not perfect or righteous. In and of ourselves, that we are only able to determine good from evil according to our love for the things of this world, that is according to own human nature, according to sensuousness, and reconcile us to his heavenly Father, making us perfect in himself through his blood. This is the message of the gospel, a message of the Father's love for his children, a message of righteousness. Those of dialectic reasoning, justifying human nature, negate this message, making man's love for himself, individually and collectively, the focus of life, leaving him imperfect, unrighteous, and condemned. The same is true for all religions. While exonerating the Father system, to a certain point, basing themselves upon the top-down system of righteousness, they do not know the Heavenly Father, who is only knowable through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, alone. Obeying him according to his word above all things created, whether on earth or in the heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 verse 12, Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23. In all of this above, I have not one step outside of exposing the dialectic process, dialectic reasoning, for what it is, the sinful praxis of man, justifying his human nature as being normal. That is the method whereby he is able to establish his carnal nature as being the norm. Yet not once, that I know of, is the dialectic process studied and exposed in our schools, including in the church. We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, for what it is, abomination, that is the establishing of human relationship, which is based upon our carnal sensuousness and our reasoning abilities, over and against, it cannot be equal with our relationship with God, which is based only upon his righteousness alone. None would dare. They would lose their jobs and thereby lose not only their income, but also their respect in the eyes of men. The thesis condition of the Father's authority is a condition of righteousness in that right and wrong, good and evil, is determined by the Father, not by the child with his natural inclination to relate with the world in the moment, living according to his own nature to approach pleasure and avoid pain, which is a spectrum of changingness, which is of sensuousness, of nature only. The Father is right. Wrong is a condition of unchangingness, changing only according to what he wills alone, not changing according to controlled by the natural inclinations of the child to relate with the world in the moment that is changing, according to the changing world. Therefore, the conflict duality between the Father and his child is a conflict between righteousness and sensuousness, not a conflict between approach pleasure, avoid pain, as those of dialectic reasoning would like you to believe, the crisis of the moment, man's felt needs of the moment negating. In the minds of men, the crisis of judgment which is coming upon all men for disobeying the Father's commands, those not in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 1. It is only in this shift or change from righteousness, the will of the Father, to sensuousness, human nature, the will of the child, that the spectrum, plurality, diversity, ambiguity of changingness can supersede the duality of righteousness and sensuousness, the duality of spirit and flesh, the duality of the father and the children, the duality of God and man, the duality of right and wrong. Negating the authority of the father to author commands to his children and chasten them. When they disobey, negating the right of the father to initiate and sustain in his children his way of thinking and acting, as he wills, doing that which is right, that is of righteousness, rather than doing that which is wrong, that is of sensuousness. Only inhibiting or preventing that which is of the world, unrighteousness, from controlling their lives. I speak of our Heavenly Father, although the pattern is represented in our earthly fathers as well. The consensus process is, in the end, only about removing the father's will in the children, negate the issue of righteousness, as they work together to actualize their common felt needs. Those of dialectic reasoning understand that by negating the pattern of the earthly, liberating the children from the father's authority, that is liberating them to have the right to question authority with impunity, getting them to focus upon their own sensuousness, their own human nature, how they feel, and what they think over and against righteousness, over and against the Father's will, they can negate, in the thoughts and actions of men, the Heavenly Father, the words. Maybe spoken, but their heart is not there. This shift in focus from righteousness to sensuousness, that is from God's will to man's will, correlated by those of dialectic reasoning with a shift in focus from the father's will to the child's will of the child's natural inclination. To relate with the world in the moment, that is his human nature, justifying, according to those of dialectic reasoning, the need to negate the father's right to author commands and chasten. His children, when they disobey him, if man is to become united as one, in consensus, affects every part of our lives today, common human nature, by sight negating common salvation by faith. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 1 verses 3 to 4, this shift in focus makes synthesis, which is an illusion, which is a deception, a reality, to sensuous man. Take note, while on the day of judgment there are many, plurality, that is many people with different points of view or opinions. In truth, what matters to you, and to each one of them, is that there is only one, you before God, duality, that is with his point of view, like a father, being all that matters, yours not counting. Plurality, your opinion amongst opinions, engendered from your approach pleasure, avoid pain continuum, that is your human nature, and your reasoning, abilities to justify it, that is lusting after the things of the world, is not going to save you. It will only leave you condemned in your sin. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 3 verses 19 to 21 C, also 2 Peter 2 verses 1 to 22. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3 verses 17 to 18. The plurality or diversity of the pleasure-pain spectrum of sensuousness, the ground upon which synthesis, that is, oneness, is built, when it becomes the focus of life, negates the duality, the antithesis, of righteousness-unrighteousness. The Father's will, as the issue of life and death, that is when the plurality of the children, the diversity of felt needs, become the focus of life, social issues, the issue of obedience to authority, of the top-down duality of the fathers. Authority and the children's obedience is negated as the issue of life, individual issue, other than as an issue to be negated. That is individual rights under God's authority, reflected in the child's obedience to parental authority, is to be negated through the right of the child. With a world established upon the pleasure-pain spectrum of human nature, there are no inalienable rights to protect the citizens. That is, no right of the father to protect his family, to protect his wife, his daughters, his sons, his property, his business, and even his very own life from the tyranny of human rights, that is, from the children of disobedience, from the heresiarchal paradigm of change from abomination, as in Sodom, that is that for which those of dialectic reasoning stand. The antithesis of mine, not yours, which is of God, that is of the Father, the dualism antithesis of I'm above, you are below, the conflict antithesis between spirit and flesh, that is the tension between the Father's will. Obey my commands or else, because I said so, of the top-down system of righteousness, where we get inalienable rights from, which no man, singularly or collectively, can put a lien upon, and the child's will, following after his natural inclination, to relate with the world in pleasure, living in the moment, trying to get what he wants by getting the father into dialogue with the question, why, in response to the father's command, that is attempting to negate the duality of righteousness-unrighteousness. Obey me or else, through the use of human reasoning, that is through getting the father into the dialoguing of opinions into the synthesis of dialectic reasoning, the plurality of there are many different ways of looking at the issue, circumventing that is cutting off, that is negating his, because I said so, engendering the equality system of sensuousness, that is that which is common to all men, aka communism, which justifies communism, socialism, democracy, communitarianism, democratization, conscientization, synergism, etc., ours, not just yours, all being the same, all engendered through the use of dialectic reasoning, can only be negated, according to those of dialectic reasoning, by making the child's will, through the use of dialogue, equal to, and thereby greater than, over and against, the father's will, that is liberating the child and his carnal nature from the father's authority, liberating sensuousness from the restraints of righteousness. The tension between the child and the father, duality antithesis, is thus shifted to the tension between the children caused by the spectrum or diversity or continuum of tensions between those who are totally loyal to the father, the bourgeoisie, to those who are totally loyal to the children, the proletariat. In the church, this would correlate to the tension between God and man, the issue of righteousness, based upon God's word preached and taught as is, being shifted to the tension between the leadership doing change based upon the issue of sensuousness, upon men's opinions dialogued, and those in the fellowship not wanting it, based upon the issue of righteousness, those not wanting change, deceived in thinking that by resolving the tension between them and the leadership, between men, based upon feelings, that is sensuousness, thinking that the leadership's reasoning is tied to the issue of righteousness. That is subject to the word of God when in fact it is tied to the issue of sensuousness, subject to the opinions of men. They can then focus upon the tension between God and man, the issue of righteousness, not realizing that they've negating righteousness as the issue of life by simply setting it aside for the moment, for the sake of maintaining the respect of men, initiating and sustaining human relationship with the leadership for the sake of unity, based upon sensuousness, therefore making sensuousness, not righteousness, the issue not only for the moment, but for life, that is for the sake of growing the church, resolving the tension between men through the use of dialectic reasoning. An illustration, which I don't like doing, but since this is heady stuff and people ask me to make it easier to understand, here goes. Those of dialectic reasoning are like alligators telling frogs that it is safe to cross the river on their back, that they are there to help them with their felt needs. Trusting in alligators, frogs soon discovered that alligators, like wolves in sheepskin, lie when they say, trust us. We care about you, having their own felt needs, their own best interests in mind. Like alligators and wolves, those of dialectic reasoning, that is, facilitators of change, have their own meaning for a consumer, driven society, the seduced, deceived, and manipulated, only coming to realize that when it is too late. The story of the spider and the fly was required memorization in the public school some 60-plus years ago to warn the children of those of dialectic reasoning. It was removed from the classroom by those of dialectic reasoning so that they could do their dialectic thing, that is, convert the children to dialectic reasoning so that they could participate in a consumer-driven society, that is, pay the pig, the wolf, the alligator, the spider, etc. These are only secular responses to a spiritual problem and therefore do not resolve the issue of who are we to trust. The duality, antithesis, of trust is negated with the plurality, synthesis, of trust. We are to trust in the Lord, above, holy, righteous, not of the world, and not in man, below, common, unrighteous, of the world. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, Proverb. 3. 5. Those of dialectic reasoning, those who push plurality, simply deceiving us into thinking that we can do both at the same time, when in truth it is still only trusting in man, that is, trusting in our own reasoning, leaning to our own understanding, justifying ourselves and our carnal, sensuous, approach pleasure, avoid pain, consume it unto ourselves, unrighteous, human nature. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. History, for those of dialectic reasoning, is not about lessons of the past learned, memorized, by those in the present, so they can do what is right and not doing wrong, not be seduced, deceived, and manipulated, that is, not repeat the wrongs of the past, that is, not repeat history. Instead, history, for those of dialectic reasoning, is the past experiences, the home experiences, of those in the present, that is, about those in the present having been made subject to those of the past, having learned obedience to their father's will in all things, thus preventing them from changing with the present, that is, changing with the changing times, so that they can, with the help of facilitators of change, create a new and better future, a future void of the restraints, warnings of those of the past. The same can be said for the church. The doctrines of the past preventing the church from fitting in with the changing times of the present. For those of dialectic reasoning, the issue of history is a person's life experience, their condition or environment of upbringing which engenders dissatisfaction, that is, their dissatisfaction with the conditions of the past, their dissatisfaction with the father's commands, commands which sustain the past, thereby justifying, according to those of dialectic reasoning, the need for change, the need to negate, treat as irrational, and therefore as irrelevant, the lessons of the past which initiate and sustain, that is, which justify the father's authority. The only meaning of history, for those of dialectic reasoning, is to study your life history, your upbringing, that is, your home life experience, to be better able to undo the effects of history, the negative effects of your parents, their heritage, upon your life, thereby being able to undoing the negative effects your life has upon society, that is, preventing change. It is the negation of history, the lessons of the past which restrain the present, which prevent change, for which dialectic reasoning struggles. By dialectic, I mean an activity of conscious. The child, rationally, dialectically, through his reasoning ability, discovering, becoming aware of his dissatisfaction with his father's authority, that he has another choice, the right to do his own thing, to disobey his father's commands with impunity, with the help of the counselor, that is, the facilitator of change, justifying not only his feelings of dissatisfaction with the father's authority, but also justifying human nature, over and against the father's top-down authority, justifying changingness, over and against unchangingness, struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the formological law of contradiction, struggling to overcome the guilty conscience, that is, overcome the father's voice of obey me or else within himself. Norman A. Brown. Life Against Death: The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History, Bracketed Information and Bolding Added. The limitations imposed by the formological law of contradiction are the standards of the parents, inculcated into the hearts and minds of the next generation, engendering a guilty conscience when they do wrong. Consider this. You cannot have a truly representative form of government when your representatives do not have a guilty conscience when they vote counter to their constitute's position, who voted them into office to represent their position. Their participation in dialectic reasoning, that is, in the consensus process, undermines the voice and the liberties of their constituents. Those of dialectic reasoning want it that way, desiring that all would perceive those with a strong conscience as holding up the ship of progress. We must develop persons who see non-influenceability of private convictions, those of strong conscience, in joint deliberations as a vice rather than a virtue. Kenneth Benny, Human Relations and Curriculum Change. The lessons of history teach us that once dialectic reasoning becomes the basis for deciding and carrying out governmental policies, anyone exposing it as treasonous will be first treated as a conspiracy nut portrayed by those in the media, in education, at the workplace, in the neighborhood, in government, and even in the church as being irrational and therefore irrelevant, and then, if they persist, accused of being a patriot extremist that is stirring upon discontent, potentially inciting riots, and then, if they persist, regarded as a potential terrorist, and then, if they persist, tried, if they are tried at all, and punished for treason. I've taken lots of history classes in college, all having clearly exposed this pattern, although many of my professors did not see it as clearly. For example, the federal government was set up to be limited, to allow states' rights, with the greatest right being of the family, under God, which engenders the conscience, restraining the hearts of the next generation, teaching them to evaluate their heart, their affections, from the Father's commands, from God's word, and not to evaluate the Father's commands, God's word, from their deceitful and wicked heart, something neither the state nor the federal government could do in and of itself. The issue of the freedom of the conscience, engendered by the Father's authority, initiated the need to limit the power of federal, national, government, prevent its encroachment upon the right of the Father and his authority to engender the conscience. I know what I am speaking of, with quotations by dialectic thinkers backing me up, given in following articles. George Washington, understanding this, warned us. The spirit of encroachment, of oneness, tends to consolidate the powers of all the departments in one, and thus to create, whatever the form of government, a real despotism. A just estimate of that love of power and proneness to abuse it, which predominates in the human heart, is sufficient to satisfy us of the truth of this position. The necessity of reciprocal checks in the exercise of political power by dividing and distributing it into different depositories and constituting each the guardian of the public weal, welt, sting, wound, mark, etc. from chastening, against invasions by the others, has been evinced by experiments ancient and modern, some of them in our country and under our own eyes. To preserve them must be as necessary as to institute them. George Washington, in his Farewell Address, bold added, "Can the annals of mankind exhibit one single example where rulers overcharged with power willingly let go the oppressed, though solicited and requested most earnestly? Show me that age and country where the rights and liberties of the people were placed on the sole chance of their rulers being good men without a consequent loss of liberty." Patrick Henry, of the Virginia Convention of 1788, bold added, "The force of government must be in the Father's hands, and thereby in the citizens' hands, or force will be used by the government to negate the right of the Father, under God, to develop the conscience in the next generation, thereby negating freedom of the conscience and liberty, making it freedom from the conscience and liberty of abomination." The family was left intact, recognized as the seedbed of stability of civil society in early America. Those of dialectic reasoning know that they must negate that condition if they are to initiate and sustain their condition of instability and change. The movement of the progressive societies has been uniform in one respect. Through all its course, it has been distinguished by the gradual dissolution of family dependency and the growth of individual obligations in its place. The individual is steadily substituted for the family as the unit for which civil laws take account. Sir Henry Sumner Maine, Freedom of Expression and Dissent in the Soviet Union. Those of dialectic reasoning know that for them to succeed, they must divide the family, come between the children and the father, negating the father's authority, and conquer the people, gather the children, and make them theirs of one carnal mind. Via the consensus process, that is if they are to control the world. Bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making, our objective centers upon. Transform public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests, thereby transforming public consensus into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps. Irvin Laszlo, A Strategy for the Future, The System's Approach to World Order. Bold and bracketed information added. The group grade, experience in the classroom imprints, programs, this pattern in the next generation's mind, shaping their present and future actions. Praxis. The top-down decision-making system Laszlo wrote of is the traditional family system which Lenin also sought to eliminate, what he labeled as the bourgeois. He stated, "We must learn how to eradicate all bourgeois habits, customs, and traditions everywhere." Vladimir Lenin, Left-Wing Communism, An Infantile Disorder and Essential Condition of the Bolsheviks' Success, May 12, 1920. According to Georgi Lukacs, it is only through the Workers' Council, the consensus process, that the people would be able to eliminate the bourgeois separation of the legislature, administration, and judiciary. Georgi Lukacs, History and Class Consciousness. What is Orthodox Marxism? Working through the departments under each branch of government, uniting as one through the consensus. Process, that is united upon common cause, the process of change, would be able to circumvent the checks and balances of the separate branches of government. The spectrum of change, augmenting pleasure, that is liberating abomination by attenuating pain. Negating the restraint of righteousness, for those of dialectic reasoning, who progressively take position of government as the people progressively abdicated into their hands, is a progression from simply being irritated, but patient, with those who refuse to change, to eventually the outright heavy hand of oppression, that is of despotism and abomination. By discovering, through dialogue, from where we get the word dialectic, where two or more can come together and agree upon what they have in common, for the moment, putting aside what they disagree on so as to maintain dialogue. That is coming to a consensus, that is to a feeling of oneness by focusing upon only that which unites, putting aside, that is negating that which they do not hold in common, negating that which inhibits or prevents commonism. That is negating that which prevents the sensuous experience of oneness of the moment and therefore is not common to all men, negating by putting aside that which causes division, dissension, discrimination, duality, conflict, controversy, etc., by discovering, through dialogue, what both the father and the child have in common, that is their human nature, that which is of the flesh, the desire to be at one with the world in pleasure, makes human nature the new thesis, negating antithesis. The conflict or tension, which is engendered by the top-down system of the father. Through dialectic reasoning by man rationally justifying his own human nature, that is his carnal nature, that is his natural inclination, to be at one with the world, as being normal, that is as being common, to all men and therefore justifiable, rational, man establishes human nature, that is the child nature, that is the child within. Over and against the authority of the father, men's opinions over and against the preaching and teaching of doctrine, equal with means over and against the word of God, sensuousness over and against righteousness. dialectic reasoning finds what men and God have in common, that is love, ours, a feeling of oneness, a feeling of acceptance and approval, that is a feeling of affirmation in man, and negates that which makes them different, antithesis, mine. Not yours, I'm above, you are below. According to Karl Marx, that which engenders a feeling of repression and alienation, that which creates division between men, separating man from man, that is separating man from nature, according to Sigmund Freud, that which engenders neurosis, that which creates division within man, separating him from his own nature. By merging Marx and Freud, social psychologists were able to take control of the next generation's thoughts and actions, getting them to focus upon the cause of social discord, that is the traditional family system. Through the use of dialectic reasoning, they were able to negate neurosis, repression, and alienation by negating its source, the traditional family system. If society imposes repression, and repression causes the universal neurosis of man, there is an intrinsic connection between social organization and neurosis. Normal O. Brown, Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. Redefining God, righteousness, that is reinterpreting his word through the use of dialectic reasoning, that is through human reasoning, that is through the sense perception of man, defining God through man's eyes, that is according to his feelings and his thoughts, according to his collectivized opinion consensus, makes God and man both the same, that is common, through synthesis making Jesus green, that is positive, that is at one with nature, with the greens like Jesus, coming to save the world, thereafter making the nature of man, human nature, that is approach pleasure, avoid pain, the standard whereby to measure both man and God, making human nature, that is man's felt needs, sensuousness, the new thesis, the new righteousness, engendering the new world order of equality, negating the old top-down world order of righteousness, thus making the world a better, a more enjoyable place for all to live within, that is all who are dissatisfied with righteousness, including, that is, and especially the perverse, that is those of abomination, according to the feelings and thoughts of the children of disobedience, that is tolerance of ambiguity, tolerance of abomination, engenders a culture of abomination, a culture of hate against righteousness, classifying those preaching and teaching the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man as being hateful, as committing a hate crime, with abomination becoming the standard by which the culture, as all in Sodom, must abide. The scriptures warn us. While those who hate sin and love righteousness, that is those made righteous in Christ, preach and teach the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man, that man might repent of his sin, those who love sin and hate righteousness, that is those of dialectic reasoning, must prevent the preaching and teaching of the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man, labeling it as being hateful, so that they can justify, feel comfortable in their sin, that is in their human nature. It is only through dialectic reasoning, self-justification, that is, boys will be boys, that man can negate the antithesis of the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man. It is only through the praxis of synthesis, through dialogue, man rationally discovering that which he has in common with all men through dialogue, that is his human nature, thereby justifying his human nature as being normal, and then acting upon it only, that antithesis is negated. That is that unrighteousness, negativity, is negated by making sensuousness, righteousness, human nature, becoming positive, the driving force behind life, and righteousness, sensuousness, the purpose of life being the augmentation of the positive of human nature, liberating human nature from the restraints, that is from the negativity of righteousness, that is making both God and man the same, that is positive, that is affirmative of human nature. As George Hegel put it, when a man has finally reached the point where he does not think he knows it better than others, that is when he has become indifferent to what they have done badly and he is interested only in what they have done right, Then peace and affirmation have come to him. G. F. W. Hegel, in one of the casual notes preserved at Widener. According to dialectic reasoning, if you can get rid of the negative, the guilty conscience for doing your own thing in regards to human nature, you can get rid of the issue of the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man. The approaching pleasure and avoiding pain spectrum of human nature, that is the augmentation of pleasure and the attenuation of pain, that is the individual and social issues of life thereafter becoming the only issues of concern for the day. By making human nature right, righteous, or positive, then anyone who restrains or inhibits it, judges it as being unrighteous, is wrong, is negative. As Elvis Presley, who died of a drug overdose, sang, "Cause baby, if it feels so right, how can it be wrong?" in his pop song of the 60s, "If it feels so right," as the transformational Marxist Herbert Marcuse wrote, "If it feels good, just do it." In his pop book of the 60s, Eros and Civilization, a philosophical inquiry into Freud, one of the two Bibles for the liberals in the 60s. Dialectic reasoning has taken over the thoughts and actions of the American public. The leadership it puts into office reflecting its use of dialectic reasoning, being positive, red being human, that is being normal, that is being unrighteous, as the only way of life. The tyranny of dialectic reasoning, that is of synthesis negating antithesis, by synthesis becoming thesis itself, goes like this: the thesis of the father's authority, position, to give commands and, through the use of chastening, for disobedience, restrain the child from following after his human nature, that is to relate with the world, and the antithesis of the child's guilty conscience, the feeling of guilt, for disobeying the father, disobey his command, having done his own thing. According to his own nature, approach pleasure, avoid pain, that is followed after his natural inclination to be at one with the world, are both negated as the synthesis of justified human nature takes the place of the father's authority, takes over the father's position of authority, becomes thesis itself, that is the child's natural inclination to relate with the world, his own feeling and thoughts, his opinion becoming the thesis. The subject of importance, rather than the father's commands, that is rationally justifying disobedience thereby, negates the guilty conscience, that is negates the father's authority to give commands along with his right to chasten his children when they disobey human nature, approach pleasure, avoid pain as sensuousness, through the use of human reasoning, dialectic reasoning. Having replaced the father's authority, do what I command or else, as the way of life. An adulterous generation sins with a guilty conscience, that is with a sense of guilt, antithesis, righteousness restraining sensuousness on an individual basis, while a culture of abomination sins without a guilty conscience, that is with no sense of guilt. Synthesis, dialectic, reasoning, consensus, collective sinning, having liberated human nature, sensuousness, from the restraints of the father's authority to give commands and chasten those who disobey, righteousness, by negating righteousness. The right of the father to have authority, the awareness of the father and his authority, in the thoughts and actions of carnal man as he does his own thing, as in the days of Noah. We are instead to deny ourselves, set aside the seeking after pleasure as the purpose of life, being driven by our lusts, that is the physical, mental, and social pleasures of this world, and pick up our cross, endure the pain of rejection, physical, mental, and social pain, which comes from the world because of our faith, and follow after Jesus Christ, who obeyed his, in Christ our, heavenly Father in all things unto death, Titus 2 verses 11 to 14, Luke 9 verse 23. We are to put on the whole armor of God and stand, Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. To put on the whole armor of God and stand means not to run from pain, compromise when pain comes our way because of our faith, or run after pleasure, compromise when pleasure tempts us to be at peace, that is to be at one with the world, but instead to stand. That is to remain steadfast, unchanging, faithful in the Lord, obedient to his, in Christ our, Heavenly Father above all things, no matter what comes our way.